Hello, and welcome to episode 141 of Checkpoint Chat. As always, my name is Alessandro Barbosa, and I'm joined by Matthew Figuera.
Yours getting some eyebrow action here in video feed. Yeah, on a very, 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 very chilly morning. Out of nowhere, this weather can't make up its mind.
This is how winter begins, man.
I know we talk about the weather a lot, okay, because this is how we start the podcast sometimes.
It's because we're old.
But it feels like we spoke about it a few weeks ago, like, yeah, it's a bit cold, hey? And then we had surprise, like, 2-3 weeks of really hot weather.
Yeah.
And then this morning, went outside, ready for a run. I was like, nah, it's cold. I'll put another layer on.
Well, you know, most people would be like, nah, it's cold. I'm not going to go run. You're like, nah, it's cold. Going to put on another layer.
By that point, I was changing outside, like to get changed back into my PJs, climb back into bed. What's the point?
I feel like the past me in my life, who used to get up at like 7 a.m. to park run on Saturdays in the freezing cold.
It was a different life.
I don't recognize that man anymore. Like, I don't.
You pass him in the street, you're like, excuse me.
Who are you?
I see you somewhere.
Please don't come back into my life. Please.
I had a restraining order against you. Don't even approach me.
It's exactly that. I can't believe. And we used to, like, it used to be a real dedication because I live far from the park run. So it was like, really got up early to do that park run to come and fucking punish myself in the cold.
We'll do it again. Don't worry, when park runs are actually a thing again, we'll go back.
I still get emails from them. I'm like genuinely shocked that they're still going because, like, wow, this thing must have wrecked them.
I don't think, park run's a complete, it's like almost like an NGO, I guess, where it's just funded by sponsors and whatever. There's no, and volunteers, obviously. But I don't think they have been running. As far as I know, no parkrun's formally been taking place. They've just been like, hey, we're still here. Don't forget to go run this weekend.
They tried to do the virtual thing, I think, once. Yeah. And I don't know if it worked out. I keep getting emails from them like, hey, here's what's happening in running around the world. Or like, hey, you can get an Apple Watch from Discovery or whatever. So that when parkruns come back, blah, blah, blah. You know,
stuff.
But yeah, I do miss it. Yeah. Parkrun is fun times.
But we're going into winter now. Let me tell you, getting up earlier is just.
Yep, it's already. I've noticed it's like Shani gets up at like 6, and I've noticed it's like dark.
How?
It's so dark. Then I'm like, oh no, it's happening. It's funny.
So Len's gonna, obviously we run off to work during the week because it was light, but now we're having that flip now. Where I finish work at 6, so like it's real dark, real early. Mm-hmm. You don't really want to go running in the dark. So I said to her the other day, I'm like, we're going to have to start flipping to morning runs during the week, sorry to say. Like, do you want to run like first thing tomorrow morning?
Rip.
It's like, yeah, she's like, keen, like, yeah, we can go. We could probably go like 6, 6:30. I'm like, no, it's dark then still. Like, no, it's not. Like, no, really, it is. And it's like,
really,
yeah,
we're
in that shift, yeah. Where it's like, where do we find this window of light?
It's, I hate winter. And, you know, it only takes a weekend like this for it to flip.
It's like, hello, I'm here.
It's like it never, just never recovers. And the next time you feel warmth on your skin is like in September.
I think we were robbed this summer. But anyways, enough about the weather.
We weren't robbed. I don't know. We had some hot as hell days. I hated some of these hot days.
Yeah, but I mean, think about a normal summer where it's like week after week of super hot weather. I mean, this year it felt like, was it January or February? We had 2 weeks of solid rain. I was like, what is this bullshit? What is this?
We really missed out on the like scorching hot days and then like the thunder showers in the afternoon to cool everything down. Yeah, I missed
that. Yeah, because my thing is I often think of you know, the years past where on a hot summer's day, I'm like, man, it's so hot. I'm just going to go jump into the pool quick and like get out because it's like such a nice refreshing thing to do. I didn't do that this year at all.
I was going to say, oh, it's because you don't have a pool now because you move, but I forgot that you do. Like,
I have access to a pool. It's not mine, but
you have your landlord's pool.
I have the landlord.
You have to put a R2 into the gate every time you want to go in.
Do you remember those old pool machines? You put like a R2 or R5 coin and you push that silver piece in. I've got to do that at the pool. So what I do is I put the coin in, I push it, and the pool fills up with water.
Oh, wow. That seems very inefficient, like having to fill the pool each time. And then when your time runs out, it just drains the pool.
It just drains. I'm like, oh, man, Lens, put another R5 in.
Yeah, make it a 10 because then it will be heated.
Make it a 10. My goodness. I still don't know how, like as a kid, that blew my mind. I was like, when I don't put a coin in, the silver piece doesn't go all the way, so the balls don't get released. But when I put a coin in, it goes all the way. Like, how does it know? Maybe if I try this 50 cent piece, it knows it's not a 50 cent piece. How does it know?
Yes, keys for doors must have blown your fucking mind.
Blown my mind. Holy shit.
Why does this key work but not this key?
I can't believe it. Yeah, my God. It's magic. Actual magic.
It's weird that maybe not weird, but most pool machines I've seen still use that exact same mechanism. Like,
yeah,
I haven't seen a digital pool machine where I can, like, I don't know, scan my phone with my credit card and get the pool balls to come out.
Shit, that's like you're living in 2030 with that idea.
I mean, I can buy my pizza with my phone. Why can I not play pool with my phone?
Why can you not use your phone as a pool cue? Now we're living in 2040.
That's living in 2040. Like, it just transforming, and it's your own personal pool cue.
It's
especially for the COVID times. You don't want to use other pool cues that people have been using.
I want to touch other stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
My goodness.
And if you disinfect it, then it's all slippery. Then you're not going to play a good game. Nah.
In the future, instead of chalking your Q-tip, you sanitize it. That's
I'm sure that will work super well. Yeah.
This is how we live now.
I'm not entirely sure what the chalking of the pool cue does.
I don't know, but it looks cool to do.
It look like whenever I'm not taking a turn, I'm sitting there chalking my pool cue, looking like I'm analyzing the game, but really I'm just like,
you know what?
Waiting.
I equate that to people who blare their speakers in a car, like at a robot. I think so. Like, I was young once, I thought it was cool. As an adult now, I'm like, you just look dumb. So next time I play pool and I see you doing that, I'm going to be like,
dumb.
You don't know what you're doing. You don't even know what the chalk does. you're just analyzing the game.
Yeah, I realized when I started my job at BBD, they had a head office, they had a pool table.
Ah, yeah.
And when I played with some people, I realized that I actually play pool wrong. Well, not wrong, yeah. But I'm just looking for... Every turn, I'm like, what ball can I sink? I'm not thinking of where does the cue ball end up after I've made a play so that it blocks the other player. These people are playing like fucking 4D chess with me and like destroying me in games because they're like making sure that I can't do anything on my next turn or anything. Tell you, they're the ones, you see, they're chalking their cue and actually analyzing the game.
Gang.
I'm just there being like, what am I going to have for dinner, you know, while I'm busy.
The chalk is actually just a ruse. It does nothing. They know that.
It's like smoking. It's just there so you can look
games.
Cool. Yeah. So it looks like you're doing something while doing nothing.
My God. Look, I think it does something, but it's such a, like, who thought, I'm going to hack a table with like a fault on it. So I'm going to have wooden cues or like wooden sticks with tips. I'm going to call them cues. When I hit this thing, it just doesn't hit right. Maybe I should just put some chalk on the end. Ah, there we go.
Yeah,
that's the
there
sweet
we go.
Spot.
It's like, that's the shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how many iterations they went through. It's like, should I put water on it? Or?
Yeah, how many materials were tested before chalk was the definitive, like, ah, yes.
This is the one. Now we've
release
got it.
Patch 1.0. We've got it.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness.
Checkpoint chat, we talk about video games, not always.
Sometimes.
Not always physical games. Speaking of a video game with a pool in it and a pool cue.
Oh my God.
But you can't play it. Resident Evil 1. Damn.
Most seamless transition of your life.
There's a puzzle with pool balls, and for some reason, the numbers on the pool balls correspond to a code for a door.
Who
designed
built
that
this
mansion?
Bloody mansion? Like,
yeah.
Even every Resident Evil game, who designed this shit?
I think actually in Resident Evil 1, there's there's like in-game notes of a guy, I can't remember his name now, but like him and his family were there at the mansion and he designed the mansion. And then it's so bad that like they like designed a trap for him and it trapped him like underneath the mansion and he just died of starvation there. Like it's horrible. And then they killed his like his family too. Like, and he's like, I can't escape this maze of a mansion that I designed. I'm like, you idiot. Why would you design something like
you've
this?
You've doomed us all. That actually makes no sense.
It makes zero sense.
If you designed it, you would know that shit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly.
My wife's an architect. She designs stuff. She knows them inside out.
And like, as part of the game, you get trapped in the room where he died. And it took me like 5 seconds to escape there. It's like, man, this guy clearly didn't know what he was fucking doing.
Does this man know how doors work?
Also, how does Barry get around? That dude just fucking appears in places. He teleports, like, I literally just unlocked this. How are you here?
That is something from... Sorry, just context. We're talking about the remake here. Resident Evil 1 remake. But that is just a product of the time where it is like, we can't do cutscenes really.
Mm.
It's just, the moment you're not looking at the door, we're going to have someone enter the room because that's how we get around it.
It's exactly that.
It always blew my mind because out of the whole franchise, I think Resident Evil 3, the OG, is like the one I played the most.
Yeah.
And I always thought, like, shit, Nemesis is right behind me. But as long as I can see that door, he's not going to come into this area. The moment I leave the camera, then the camera angle changes. I'm like, damn it.
You just hear stars.
Yeah, you just hear the door slam. Like, damn this game.
I tell you, that's still one of the most, like, terrifying parts of this game is, like, walking past a door that is generally, like, fine, and you hear it, like, bang, and, like, a zombie is coming through it. It's like, oh, cool. Great. I must tell you though, this so I finished it with Jill. I think last week I hadn't finished it yet, so I finished it with Jill.
Yeah, I don't think you had.
Real fun. Really, really good. I even got to save Chris.
How many hours do you think it took?
It took 10 or so hours.
It's not that long. Okay.
Yeah, it felt longer than, I mean, especially after playing Remake of 3 recently, which was like 6 hours on my first playthrough.
Remake 3 was like 1 hour.
Yeah, and then I remember playing it a second time and I finished it in one sitting. I was like, wow, this game really is short quick. If you know what the fuck's going on. But yeah, so now I'm playing Chris and I was like, oh, okay, it's going to be, you know, second run. I know what's going on, whatever. Man, this run is so much harder. I don't know if it's like a big middle finger to like people who thought, oh, I'm not going to play as a girl in a Resident Evil game because holy shit. If I'd played this first and not known the way around the map, it would have...
You would have been put off the game, probably.
You get so much less ammo. Like, with Jill, I had so much ammo, like, at all times. I was never, ever starved for ammo. And, you know, outside of the first hour or two. With Chris, holy shit. Like, I'm having to keep so many enemies alive because I just don't have the resources to take them out. And people, I've been reading, and people are like, yeah, but he has a nice knife. Man, I tried that thing. It's bullshit. Like, it just doesn't work. The only thing of his that is really cool is his one defensive item is like a flashbang grenade.
Mm.
And that, like, decapitates enemies.
A lot of,
which is super useful to get rid of those crimson heads.
The crimson heads, yeah.
But, I wonder,
do you employ the age-old technique of the, I know it's manual labor, but the moment you shoot a zombie and they go down, do you pull your knife out and slash him a few times while they get
up? Okay, so I don't do that because I don't have space to carry my fucking knife. Yeah. That's like the only issue because otherwise I would be doing that.
Yeah, because that'll definitely help you save some ammunition. But you're right, it's interesting because I think even the original game, I mean, it's the same thing where in the original game the whole trade-off was like Jill is a lot less tanky, she takes a lot less damage before she goes down, but she's got more ammo and inventory space, and Chris obviously takes a lot more hits but has less space. I wonder why they never like sort of locked that where it's like, hey, this is the first time you're playing the game, you can only play Jill.
Yeah,
like they just straight up give you the option.
It seems bonkers to me because I would love to know how many people bounced off of that just because, like, hey, Chris was too much. Because I can understand. Like, I know where I'm meant to go in this mansion and I'm, like, finding no ammo. I'm really, really struggling. And so I'm quite far now in the run, finally. I'm at the residency.
Residency Evil.
Yeah. And I happened to look up something because I can't remember what I was looking up, but so I didn't realize that the medic that you consistently find throughout the mansion, she can heal you. Didn't know that. That would have saved a lot of healing
some
items.
Some healing, yeah.
Because, you know, part of me running past so many enemies is they often grab me and I just have to take that damage. So I didn't know that. But I also found out through that same like forum post that Chris can't craft the V-Jolt for the plant. And I'm just like, okay, so I have no ammo and now I have to take on this fucking plant. That's great.
Interesting. Yeah. Good luck.
So yeah, now I'm in the house with the big spiders and the terrible plant. Oh, and I guess the killer sharks are coming soon. So. So yeah, I'm not super fun.
I can't remember. I don't think you fight them, eh? You just like drain the water.
Yeah, you drain the water and then they flop on the ground. You have to kill one by throwing something electric in water so you can get a key.
Okay.
But yeah, they make very scary noises when they flop on the ground. It's not great.
Well, fun fact. So the other lady in the house in the crush run is Rebecca, right?
Yes.
Do you know that Resident Evil Zero basically tells that story of her team going to another mansion nearby, and it sort of like sets up how she ends up in that house.
Yeah, because they're the team that arrived before, and you're dispatched to go see what happened.
Yeah. So that's Resident Evil Zero.
So it's like Rebecca, and then man, that poor dude in both runs. He gets attacked by the snake. And in both runs, it's like, you need to get serum. So you go all the way to the other end of the mansion. You get serum. You come all the way back. He's dead.
Yeah, I don't know if you can actually save him.
I don't think you can, because I ended up using... So on Jill's run, I didn't use the serum. I don't know if that's because I got lucky and I wasn't poisoned by the snake. But with Chris, I got poisoned during the fight, and then I used the serum to heal myself.
Okay. I wasn't actually sure. I mean, I played this... a long time ago.
I got real stuck because I had no ammo, and I'm like, the only way to progress now is to take on the snake because I need that final death head. So I walk in there, I run to the other end, I get the mask, I run out, and I'm like, wait a minute, I do need to kill it. I don't know why. I don't know if you need to kill it, but I was like, I need to kill it. So I ran back in, and I found 6 shotgun shells, and it took 5 to kill it, and I was like, yeah.
You're like, fuck this game. So well designed.
So well designed. But I took so much damage, I nearly died. It was, yeah. That snake is hard to fight when it moves way quicker than you. But yeah. And then I killed the zombie in the coffin thing. That's what's... Listen, this game's good. I really like
this
game.
It's real good, yeah.
The Chris run is frustrating me a lot. But it's also... I feel like... having played now Remake 2 and Remake 3 and, you know, 5 and 6 and and 7, this one manages to maintain the tense, like, survival horror nature throughout. All the others, I think it tapers off quite quickly, especially with 7.
Yeah, at some stage. Yeah, at some stage. Yeah, well, 7 turns out into a Michael Bay film.
Yeah, it really fucking does. Holy shit.
But at the... Yeah, you're right. It feels like with each game, you get over that initial fright of like, where am I? How does this game work? Where's all the ammo? What are my weapons? Because like you said, you more often than not, if you play smart, you get enough ammo to just manage, you know?
Yeah.
Remake 1, I think especially with the remake, they introduced things where like zombies appearing out of random doors, like that was new.
And Crimson Heads.
Crimson Heads are like, that was, I think... intentionally put in to like really screw the veterans, because you think like, ah, like the zombie's dead, whatever, and then the zombie gets up like 2 hours later when you just happen to visit the mansion again. Yeah. Like, oh my god.
And it's harder, it becomes another resource juggle, because it's like, well, do I carry the kerosene to burn the body so it doesn't turn into a crimson head? Well, that takes up a space in my inventory. In Jill's case, it takes up 2. And then the kerosene is limited, so it's like, well, which parts do I want to keep clear?
Like, yeah.
So it, you know, 7. I feel like the first part of 7 with Jack Baker really feels like that. because you're struggling. And he's very much an ever-present threat. He's constantly around you. Whereas I feel like when you get to the wife, I think it's Marguerite, and the son, Jack, both of them don't feel as imposing. No, yeah. Wait, Jack is the father. I don't know what the son's
Jack's
name
the father.
Is.
I can't remember what the son's name.
Jason.
Is. Well, the son. Something. Jason. Well, the son's more of a.
It's a puzzle.
He just messes with you. Yeah, it's like it's puzzle.
It's more like
stuff,
a sore ripoff more than anything else. Yeah, I feel like the gate, it like loses its way and then it comes back when you get put back on the ship because that gets real creepy and real eerie again. And then it just goes full Michael
then it's
Bay.
Back,
holy shit. That last bit is so disappointing. I really didn't like that last bit in the mines. So,
well, I'm curious for Village because it's interesting. It seems to have a lot of the same DNA as Resident Evil 4.
Mm.
Like it really feels in terms of the fact that it's the setting, there's a vendor, there's a whole lot of things. It's like, oh, this is kind of like a modern Resident Evil 4.
Mm.
And Resident Evil 4 is like real, real good. Like I love the hell out of that game, but it was 100% more
action game,
than
yeah.
like actual survival horror. So I'm curious to see what the trade-off is here. Are they... Like, will they still keep the horror elements or are they going like full, you know, action?
It is interesting to watch the difference because, like, I guess they just got to a point where they're like, people like shooting the zombies. So let's just give them more opportunities to do that. Because in Resident Evil 1, I'm hardly killing anything. I'm trying to circumvent a lot of them.
Yeah,
so,
you're trying to survive. Yeah.
I mean, 2 is a lot of the same. 2 finds tension in different ways with Mr. X. Like, you can really see it in 3. That is a straight-up action game. And 4, I guess, is the same. So, yeah, I wonder if 8 is going to lean more into that. Because I felt like 7 was coming back to, let's try not do the whole shoot everything thing.
I think 8 will start like that. And then it'll taper off into Michael Bay territory. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what their plans are.
I saw that there's a hunting mechanic in the game. So you can hunt wildlife and use it to trade things with the merchant, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Which is another way to like balance your ammunition. Do you spend it on hunting things or surviving?
Interesting. Yeah, can't wait. That's out soon.
Yeah, 7th of May.
So
real,
nice.
real soon. I'm very excited for that game. Cannot
likewise.
Wait. Cannot wait. What have you been up to this week?
I mean, so people listening to this episode are probably like, I swear, have I listened to this already? Because, you know, Alessandro last week touched on Resident Evil, and last week I touched on Monster Hunter, and sorry to be that person, but I've just been playing more Monster Hunter.
You are well into this addiction.
It's so weird how... When we got our review code, the back of my mind is like, oh, this is like, I know Monster Hunter is like notorious for being a 100-plus hour experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so long. Like, I just don't know if I'll manage. Like, I'll definitely give it a chance. I've played this game for like 65 hours now.
Crazy. I really didn't expect it to take you like this. Yeah.
No, which is just crazy because you know what it is? It's honestly it's a thing of, it just works on Switch I know we keep hitting this point home, but the fact that the multiplayer just works when I'm miles away in my bed, because like if it was on PC, the chances are a lot of evenings I climb into bed and I'll like watch a show or play something on my Switch or read whatever and then pass out. But the fact that I can just take Monster Hunter to bed is part of the problem, because then I'm like, yeah, I'll just do one more hunt. And the next thing I know, it's like 2 a.m. And it's been like 2 a.m. many times this week.
do you not like, I mean, I like playing the Switch in bed, but I find it like, it wrecks my wrists. I don't know. Do you not find that?
I haven't had issues with that. But what's funny is that this game destroys battery.
I can imagine, yeah.
And like, I don't know if that's because my Switch is now like 4 years old, the battery's just getting old, whatever, or the game, you know, destroys it, or a combination of both. But like, I'll very easily run that battery to almost flat, like in an hour and a half. it feels like, maybe two at a stretch. So I've found a way to like put the Switch on my bedside table, prop it up, plug it in, and I literally lie on my side and I detach the Joy-Cons and I just play like lying on my side and it's actually very comfortable.
That is amazing.
So it's like I'm literally, you know, like lying on my hands, whatever, just playing Switch. It's a good time. So, yeah, but
How far into it are you? Like what?
Yeah, so just to catch up, I've obviously, you can roll credits in this game in like 10, 15 hours, which is like a joke because you think some people will be like, oh, okay, that's a game.
Mm.
But like it really just sets up, you know, higher level hunts. And there's a lot to do because like I haven't just been grinding out gear or whatever. Like I'm still progressing my hub. I'm still doing, like I'm on 6-star hunts now and I'm finally hunter rank 7, which I think is the max in the game for now. I think they will uncap that at some stage. But I've been working towards that the whole time. I mean, like I told you, the only time I actually did grind, like I did one hunt 3 times because I wanted a particular set and I got all the parts I needed like relatively quickly. So yeah, I haven't really had that. I do wonder when I reach the end of this part of the game, because it's like you need to do 5 main quests and then you're going to get an urgent request. Like what happens? Is there an actual second set of credits or do they go, oh, here's 8-star quests now? Like I have no idea. Like, I don't know if I am on the last home stretch now. And then like I finish a game and I have to wait for DLC or whatever. But yeah, it's been so much fun. And I think like when you sit and you think about, when I sit and I think about it, it's like, why do I enjoy this game? It's like, I'm really just hunting monsters. Like that's the loop of the game, right? It's like,
you
go hunt a monster, you get the gear, you level up a bit. And like, even the progression in the game, it doesn't feel like, I think one thing that stands out for me is that it doesn't feel like incremental stuff where like a lot of RPGs is like, oh, this gear that dropped is slightly better than what I have. I have 1% more armor now.
Yeah.
And like you rinse and repeat for hours and hours and obviously you gradually get stronger compared to where you were in the first 10 hours of the game. Whereas Monster Hunter, it feels like a lot of the abilities are, or like perks you get are pretty significant. So it's like if I craft a, like, for example, I crafted a talisman yesterday. I got lucky because it ended up being like high rarity and it had, I can't remember what the ability is called, but it's like, it's level 2 of this thing and all debuffs are now 75% less. Like, that's a pretty powerful buff because in other games, like, your debuffs will be 10% less in duration and it helps you, but it's not like a significant, like, wow, that's a massive boost, you know? So it feels like this game is it's an interesting balance of like you're slowly but surely working your way towards better armor and better weapons, but it feels like the abilities and perks that come with them like have a clear impact. Like the armor sets I built for, so I'm maining the longsword, for example, and one of the main mechanics is the fact that you sheath your weapon. So, and obviously you sheath your weapon and you pull it out and there are some abilities that benefit that. So I have quick sheath now at level 3, which means I put my sword away like very, very quickly. And then when I pull my sword out again, it's got crit for a bit of like a certain duration of time. But like I can see that difference. Like I can feel that difference. And I think that's part of why the game's so addictive, because it's like, it's not just incremental stuff. You can like see the impact you're having on your character. And like, besides, it is just a lot of fun. Like, I think one of the biggest selling points is the fact that like hunting a monster is it's like a spectacle. You know, you do a bit of damage, you get on your palamute and you go, or you just wirebug your way over and you just chip away some more and you're hunting it around the map. And like the shit that happens is just, it's so much fun. Like I've been playing, like I don't know how the game deals. Like if I were not on an internet connection, I don't know how the game limits you, because you can still do the hub quests, but I imagine they're a lot harder because you don't have people to help you. Although having more people means the monster gets more health. So I can't comment on that, but it's been a lot of fun doing these high level quests with friends into like the early hours of the morning. And it's, it's all of us. It's always like it's 1:30 in the morning and then someone types like, one more? And you're like, okay, post the quest and we all do it.
So have you mostly now transitioned to hub quests, so with other players?
I'm only doing hub quests now. I've like finished the village quests.
Oh, so like, do they eventually stop at a point?
They stop, yeah. So I think the village quest, you probably stop at, I think it's 5-star, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
But then the hub quests go up to 6 or 7-star.
Because that was one of the things I saw a lot of reviews talking about at the time was that it felt like the game lacked a real end game right now. And obviously I was like, well, that won't really affect me because I don't feel like I'm going to reach that anytime soon anyway.
Mm.
But I can see from your, you know, considering how much you've played, you know, do you feel like there's a lack of content or you feel like you're brushing up against a wall almost?
I think I'm going to hit that wall in the foreseeable future, but up till now I haven't felt like, look, what's a bit odd is that you, like I explained to you, I think last week, all of a sudden high rank hunts become available.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fighting the same monsters, but they're dropping different loot. So maybe some people feel it's a bit cheap that you're like having the same game, but you're just grinding out different resources. But like I haven't hit a wall per se. Like I really feel like I've been progressing constantly through, you know, like initially the village quest and now the hub quests.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think I'm on the home stretch where I will, I don't know, like quote unquote, roll second set of credits or just be like, okay, well now I'm done.
And do you feel like, do you have any like favorite weapons or do you have a slew of weapons that you pick based on the monster that you're hunting?
No, see at the moment it's just the longsword. I'm like literally rocking one set of gear. You know, I've got the same armor, my longsword. But I think.
But you have different longswords, is what I mean.
No. Oh, just okay. The one.
Interesting.
Yeah. Look, I think that's probably me just being lazy. Like, if I wanted to dive deep into it, I could. I've got access to a ton of longswords I can craft where I could be like, oh, this monster's weak to poison. Let me craft the poison longsword. But I've got the. Look, I don't know in terms of raw numbers, but in terms of narrative, like I've got the quote unquote best weapon of the long swords. Like it's called, I think it's like the Rampage Tree.
Rampage Tree.
Yeah. So, you know, every weapon you craft is associated to some tree. Like, you know that menu where it shows you the.
Yes.
The splitting parts. Yeah. So I'm on like the right at the bottom of that menu and it's called the Rampage Tree, which is like narratively quote unquote the best weapon. I don't know.
What's the highest rarity? Is it like 4 or
no? So the talisman I got yesterday is rarity 7.
Whoa, okay.
So yeah, I think I don't quote me on this, but I think rarity 7 or 8 is the,
because I'm only still crafting like rarity 2 weapons and I was like, oh, it goes up to 4. So holy shit.
It goes,
okay.
Yeah, because as you progress the game, that weapon tree also, if you scroll to the right, you'll see a lot of it's just grayed out.
Yeah.
As you progress the story, you'll see it starts to unlock.
It's interesting that it doesn't follow the common color scheme that has been established, the like white, green, blue,
no,
purple, yellow, I'm missing a color, orange, I don't know.
I think the highest rarity gear I've seen is red. Maybe that's 8. I don't
people
know.
People have never played Diablo. Now. There's no red in the rarity
no,
scale.
No, it's supposed to be gold.
Supposed to be orange. I don't even think Destiny brown, gets to orange. Destiny stops at yellow. And really? Then it stops. Yeah. Diablo's orange. Yeah. I know orange is the bee's knees.
Yeah.
Because I saw here rarity 1 is like white and then rarity 2 is yellow. And I was like, that's wrong.
You're like, what?
Wrong. No.
And then I think rarity 3 or 4 is pink. And you're like,
wrong.
How does any of this make sense?
It's just wrong.
But my progression aside, the game is good enough that, I mean, look, so I've really been playing the longsword, right? And like we've said before, the weapon you choose really changes how the game feels.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm not going to sit and master all 14 weapons.
Why not,
but,
Matthew? Why not?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? But, like, I've got a friend who bought the game a week ago who's still new to the game now, and he's doing low-level stuff. And at no point am I like, I've done this stuff. I'm like, yeah, I'll join you.
Wow.
I'll just try different.
Just at me next time. God.
No, but I'm like, I'll just play a different weapon. Mm. It'll be like a different experience. And you never feel like you're not progressing, because ultimately I'm still getting resources and money. So
what I do like is that even the lower level resources do come into play, I've noticed, for like higher level weapons. So like you said, it never feels like you're going on a hunt and you're just wasting time. Like you can switch to a weapon type that you've never played. And because your character doesn't have an inherent like overall level, it feels like, okay, you'll have high level armor, so you probably won't die, but you'll still do an appropriate amount of damage for that hunt.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, like on my Tuesday stream, I was like, okay, we're doing some low levels. I mean, you popped in. I was like, well, I'm going to use the light bow gun. And I just crafted something which I thought was like level appropriate for the hunts we were doing. I crafted a good doggo.
Oh, that dog bow gun. Oh, God. It was so weird.
Oh, my God.
How fun is that light bow gun, though? Like, at first I was like, it's just turning the game into a third-person shooter. But then when I realized the depth of it, like with its traps and everything, I was like, damn, this is really fun to use, actually.
It's the first hunt at it, I was like, I'm not feeling it. But then you start figuring out the different ammo types. And then you learn, like I've since learned that the different bow guns allow for different ammo types.
Yes.
You can't just equip everything in every bow gun.
Yes, yeah.
So like on a later hunt, it's like, well, let me craft a different bow gun. It's like, oh, now let me equip this ammo. And it just changes the game, and it's so good, man.
It's
like,
so good, yeah.
It's funny. I've been giving John Michael some shit because for the longest time, he's like, yeah, I've been playing Monster Hunter World. You should come play it. I think you'll like it.
Oh, I rate you'd love this game.
And I'm like, yeah, I probably would like it. Now I'm playing Rise. I'm like, why don't you ever tell me to play Monster Hunter? What a good franchise.
Has he got a Switch? I don't actually
know. No, he doesn't have a Switch,
So he's waiting for that PC release.
Yeah, I'm like, if it comes to PC next year and there's a cross progression, which is unlikely,
very, very unlikely.
If there's cross progression, like I probably will dabble in it again.
I would get it on PC just to see that game running. Like, it runs fine on Switch, but it's 30 frames.
Mm.
Like that game running smooth AF. Oh yeah,
I'm still blown away by the sorcery that this game works on Switch.
Yeah,
it looks how it does.
It's crazy how it, like, just deals with all the effects happening.
I mean, just like, have you how many rampages have you done? Like that whole tower defense mode. Have you not done a ramp? Okay, we have to fix that. This week you're going to come do some low level hunts.
No,
with us.
Once I'm done with my Chris run, I'm returning to Monster Hunter. So yeah.
But like, so for those who don't know, Rampage, I think, is an exclusive thing to Rise, where it's kind of like it really feels like a tower defense, where you set up turrets, you set up like AI control turrets, you set up turrets that you can control, and you can just shred up fight the monsters. And at any point, there are like 5-6 big monsters on screen.
Yeah, there's a lot happening in those rampages.
And then, you know, throwing three multiplayer friends with their pets, and you're like, how does the Switch keep up with all the shit that's happening on screen?
No, it's
hella
impressive.
You pointed out a few weeks ago where, like, there's shit happening on the map as well.
Yeah.
Like, the monster, like, YOLO's off somewhere, and you're like, oh, it's next to that monster, and you get there, and they've been fighting. You're like,
yeah, it's crazy. The amount of simulation that's happening. Yeah, it's really remarkable how it works and such. And like you said, in portable mode, it really drains your battery. But at the same time, I don't feel like I'm getting a compromised experience in handheld. Like a lot of other games, like you put it in handheld and you're like, wow, the frame rate really tanks when it's running on battery. This, I don't feel that. I mean, even Breath of the Wild felt like that at certain points. Like just because I'm in handheld, it's not the best. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Game is good.
Come back.
Yeah, I will.
We need to do some
hands. I definitely will. I just, man, you know, I wasn't going to do this Chris run, but then I started it and now it's like, it's teasing me. It's like, haha, you can't beat me. And I'm like, fuck you. I will.
It's the Dark Souls of Resident Evil runs.
Well, if you tell me that I get no bazooka with the Tyrant, then I'm going to quit right now.
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny these rumors.
I didn't even know there was a tyrant in this game, so that was a big surprise. Oh, really? To me. Yeah. When that thing came out of the tank and I was stuck in the room, I was like, cool, this is great.
But as far as like Resident Evil boss fights are always so interesting because, like, sorry, we're bouncing back now momentarily, but like the tyrant literally just like walks.
Yeah.
Just like walks at you.
But if he smacks you, you almost like instantly die.
It's, yeah, you take a lot of damage, but it's like you just run, keep a distance.
I do like that there's that enemy, the I think her name's Lisa in the chains, who you can knock her down, but then she regens. And no way does it explain that to you. Like, you can just pump ammo into her like crazy, but she does not die.
Is Lisa the one who's like on the outskirts? She's like shackled. Yeah, that was not in the original, let me tell you.
What? But she's like a whole boss fight. Like... Mm-hmm.
That whole outside area is like not in the original. I'm telling you, there was some stuff that added that.
But it feels like a whole pop because like eventually you go underground and then you have to fight her again and then you end up at that outside part.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Okay. Wow. they really put in the work on this game. It feels like a very natural. So where do you get the Magnum then? Because that's like outside in that part as well. You get it at a tombstone.
Probably somewhere else in the game.
Oh, yeah. I was really pissed off when I went outside to the one area where I expected there to be a grenade launcher. Chris doesn't get a grenade launcher.
What does he get? Like there's always a...
Gets a flamethrower.
That's a flamethrower. That's. Do you have the flamethrower yet?
Mm-mm. I was really pissed off that I had to use the broken shotgun to get a shotgun. Jill never had to do that. She just had Barry to save her. God.
Yeah, Barry.
Why doesn't Wesker save me?
That's why I think that's why Jules runs easier it's as well. So because easier. Barry like often appears like, oh, hey.
I mean, the fact that she's got a lockpick and I don't have to go through bullshit to get some weapons, like, it's way easier. Mm-hmm. It's way easier. Anyway.
Sure, that's games we have played.
It's games you have played. Week. Should we move
Sorry
on
Sorry that to... it is the same stuff, but we are. It's like it's dry season at the moment anyway.
It
like,
is. It has
really
is.
Been. Give us 2 weeks. Well, we'll see what's coming out this week, but give coming. Us... My God, that give us flood. Like 2 weeks.
That flood is coming, man. Should we look at game releases?
Game releases
from today, April 17th until April 23rd, a very special day, my birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Hope you got your Animal Crossing ready.
Yeah, listen, I have to go back to the island to make sure my islanders don't want to... throw me into the ocean when I come back from my
What do you mean it's your birthday? Who are you?
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be shocked. Would not be shocked.
Amazing.
So, yeah, games coming out this week. Two or three big ones, I think. MLB The Show 21. So this one's...
Oh, why did I think that was out already? No.
I guess this one's big mostly because of the business stuff around it. This is the first time that this franchise is coming to Xbox. Since it is a Sony published game.
And it's on Game Pass.
That's the big news, yeah. So, I mean, there have been reports since that announcement that it was more the MLB's decision and not Sony's decision to put it on Game Pass. Well, I guess Sony wouldn't have agreed to that deal in any case. But yeah, the fact that this is the first time it's coming to Xbox and it's on Game Pass. So now you've got this very traditional Sony franchise which you can either pay $70 for on PlayStation or get it on Games Pass on Xbox. It was a real 1-2 punch there, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a clever move as well because you will get like there is a segment of gamers which is like completely casual in the sense that it's like I literally play sports games.
Yeah.
So like if you're a baseball fan, like I think it must be very enticing to be told like you can just buy an Xbox Series S and Game Pass for a month or two.
And I guess for a lot of the time, you know, those were secured PlayStation console sales because it was like, well, I love MLB, so obviously I'm going to buy a PlayStation. Now it's like, well, I can get an Xbox and also I can subscribe to Game Pass and then forget to cancel it. See, that's the real end goal. I mean,
I'm still surprised. I'm still subscribed and surprised, I suppose, to be still part of Xbox Game Pass on PC. I played the medium in January. We're in April now. Going in May, I haven't played anything else.
Yeah, big same. Big same. But I'm subscribed because you never know what might come to the service, man.
Never know.
Yeah. So yeah, that starts on April 20th. also out on April 20th, Mask Maker for PC, VR, and PSVR. Mask Maker. I wonder if this is like a Silence of the Lambs simulator where you make masks.
Why would you say that?
That got real morbid.
Mask Maker on Steam.
So this is in an all-new, mysterious universe built by the developers. Oh, built by the devs who made A Fisherman's Tale, which was pretty cool. Play as Mask Maker's apprentice and learn the magic of crafting masks to immerse yourself in the intriguing, enigmatic beings of the game. So Fisherman's Tale was like, do you know that game that came out really recently called Maquette, where it was like you have like a model of something, but that model represents the world around you. Like Fisherman's Tale did that about 2 or 3 years ago in VR. It was like you had a model of a shed in front of you, and when you opened a door, the door behind you opened because that was the shed you were currently in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
God. I've pulled open some gameplay now. What is going on here?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. It looks pretty. It's got a very cartoony, whimsical vibe to it. So, okay, that's cool.
This is Majora's Mask in VR, man.
Oh, good lord. April 22nd, we've got MotoGP 21, PC, PS4, okay, all the platforms, even Switch. Also on April 22nd, Atelier Mysterious Trilogy Deluxe Pack. Wow.
I didn't even know there were three of
these games. If you have Trilogy in your name, you don't need Pack in your name either.
It's a deluxe pack.
That's just my feelings on that. Like, Trilogy already implies there's more than one thing. Goodness. You don't need Pack. Anyway,
just in case people have, you know, some doubts.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, this is a game for Lenska if I've ever seen one.
April 22nd.
Buildings have feelings too.
Wait, is it a sequel? Feelings too.
Amazing.
So let's read this. An exciting new city management puzzle game about buildings and the city they inhabit. You must grow your city to a bustling metropolitan center with an array of shops, offices, entertainment facilities, and amenities to help your buildings thrive or risk them being demolished forever. But this doesn't tell me... The buildings are alive. So they've got... Is this like The Sims, but for buildings? You have to keep your buildings happy?
This building's literally got legs and it's running.
I love this art style. I absolutely amazing.
I'm going to show this to Lenska.
And you see like when it jumps up and it's got like running. Confetti around him. Oh, this is fantastic. I love this. Okay, this is a cool... The city is alive.
My God.
Being made out of bricks and mortar doesn't mean you don't have your own things to worry about. That's fantastic. Okay. So that's out on April 22nd on PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. And then the two big ones for the week, Nier Replicant, which is a remaster/remake of the first Nier that's coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One on April 23rd. I think given how many people love Nier Automata, like people are excited for this, but it is a very different type of game. I mean, it was developed by a different studio. But I'm keen to try this because I love Nier Automata and I never played Replicant back then. It was just called Nier. I'm keen to play this.
It's funny is that, so I knew this game was coming and I knew it was a remake of the first one or whatever. I Googled it the other day for whatever reason and I saw the box art and I was like, holy shit, I recognize this game. I had no idea. Like, the penny dropped. I never realized that Nier. Like, I recognize the box art of the original.
Yeah.
I just never clicked that it's that game.
Yeah.
Part of this franchise that's being remade.
I know the box art. I remember seeing the box art a lot when I used to work at, like, a BT Games.
BT Games, yeah.
It's old.
That's exactly
game,
what I was thinking as well.
And what's interesting is that there were actually two versions of the original. So, and they were completely different games. Depending on... I think they were also region limited. So I think Japan got one version and the West got one version. So in our version, the West version, we played as the father, Gestalt, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then Japan, you played as a completely different character and it was a different game. And it's just like...
My goodness.
What a strange franchise. Yeah.
Well, isn't that Nier Automata? Oh my God, I'm getting an advert here. I really need to subscribe to YouTube Premium. because I get so many ads. Oh, here's another one. Isn't Nier isn't Nier Automata also a thing of automata? Where you finish it and it's like, oh, hey, there's a whole another game here, yes, whole other campaign,
definitely,
and you just do that several times.
I mean, you play as a, don't want to spoil anything, but you play several protagonists in that game.
Yeah.
And each one is its own, like, playthrough. So, I mean, similar to a Resident Evil, but more, it's more concerned with how those stories meld together. It's not just like, here's the same game with a different character. It's like, when you play as a different character, you are seeing different areas different from different events, perspectives. Yeah. At times where the timelines of each of the stories converge, definitely. Yeah, Automata is fantastic. It's I do think the combat gets repetitive, especially when you're playing. This is a character action game for, you know, close to about 60 hours.
60 hours.
Well, for all the if you're gonna do all the main endings, yeah, it's around there. But it's fantastic. Jesus. Like the story is seriously, it's got some crazy good moments. Would recommend to anyone. Really good. And then the last game for the week is Judgment. So Judgment is the sort of spin-off from the developers of Yakuza, but it is getting a next-gen remaster or release. So it's PS5, Xbox Series X and S, which is the first time it's on Xbox, and Stadia, also on April 23rd. So yeah. I mean, maybe I'll go back to it, but I bounced off of Yakuza 0 quite hard. I wasn't feeling it, but maybe then again, you need to be kind of very invested into it.
I think, yeah, it's one of those games where you know it's going to be long, and maybe you just weren't feeling it at the time. So
yeah, so maybe I'll come back to it. But yeah, I do want to play Yakuza 7, because that's like a whole new story, whole new type of gameplay.
Yeah, it's like a fresh start. Yeah,
so maybe that's where I should bounce on that. So yeah.
Yeah.
But that's it for this week. For next week, two big releases, Returnal and Pokemon Snap. I'm very excited.
Oh my gosh,
Returnal.
Is Returnal next week?
30th of April, yeah.
My goodness.
Very excited, yeah.
The following week. For some reason, I was like, that's this Friday?
No, it's the next Friday.
next week. Okay, that makes sense.
I say next week because it will be Monday when anyone's listening to this.
I just had a moment.
Okay. You had a brain fart, it's okay.
Not a brain fart, okay.
News. Also not a super like excited. We are really in that moment of like we're a couple of weeks away from what will be a digital E3 now. News is scarce and the only news you hear about is like continually hyping up the games we know about, because from June onwards there's very little we know, put it that way. So
yeah.
I think the biggest one this week was the PlayStation update.
Sorry. When you start news, like the biggest news this week,
yeah,
is an update.
Well, wow. I guess it's big because it's the PlayStation 5's first big update since launch, and it adds a bunch of shit that, like, to me, it should have launched with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I digress. So I think the big part of the update is the ability to now move PlayStation 5 games onto external storage.
Which was like a
this morning you said you're like with. Wait, you couldn't do that, like you didn't even know that was a thing.
I think we've spoken about it, but I think just the audacity,
it really is possible. The audacity, like, because I mean this is something like, the PS4 granted the PS4 also I think it was only a year after launch that it allowed this. The Xbox allowed this, the Xbox Series X and S allowed this at launch. And, you know, storage in its entirety has been a real problem for the PlayStation 5 since launch, because, like, the Xbox allows you to move Series X games to external storage, and you can buy a granted expensive SSD expansion thing that just plugs into the back of the Xbox and expands your internal storage. The PlayStation still doesn't support its M.2 drive, you know, expansion, so you're still stuck with the very limited 680 gigs that you get after the OS takes up space on the hard drive to like put games on. And before now, if you ran out of space, you just had to delete versions of the games and re-download them if you wanted to play, which is ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
So Yeah, so now what you can do is move them to external storage, which works in the same way as the Xbox. You move it to an external hard drive, SSD, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. But you can't play the games off of there. You have to move them back onto internal storage if you want to play them. But moving them is probably, given your internet connection, much quicker than it will be to re-download a game. So yeah, that's useful. I think the one thing that irritates me, or the two things that irritate me, is that you can't download a game directly to external storage. So it still has to have space on the internal, and then you can only move it. Also, a game that is on the external will not update.
What?
Yeah. I don't understand why. So when you move it back to internal storage, then it will do any updates that it requires. Then, and I think so, that's just real stupid.
So if I'm, so I get the whole thing of the primary hard drive, because, you know, PS5 games are these blazing fast load times and X, Y, Z. But if I have a whole PS4 library, can I, and I say, for argument's sake, I've got, I don't know, like the Call of Duty, whatever, I've got the PS4 version downloaded, Cold War, and it's on my external.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling me this game just won't update?
Nope.
That is ridiculous. Yeah. But I can still play it. I can still play it on my external or not.
Well, no, if it's a PS4 version, no.
No. But I mean, if it's a PS4
version. Oh, no, then it will update. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, then it'll update.
No, okay. No. So you could always put PS4 games on external. That's not new.
It's just PS5.
Yeah, it was just okay. PS4, you could do that from launch. There's even an option in the options menu where it's like, hey, if it detects that you're downloading a PS4 game, it will go straight to the external so it doesn't take up space on your internal.
Okay.
So that's never been an issue. But PS5 games, so if you're PS5 playing
games, but
if
still,
you're playing the PS5 version of Call of Duty Cold War, you know, and you put it on your external because, hey, say you're like, okay, well, I don't want to delete Cold War. I'm going to put it on the external, download this new game, and then pop that on the external or something, you know, whatever. When you bring it back, if there's been a fucking 60 gig update like there very casually is for Call of Duty, then you will have to wait the 20 or so minutes for the transfer to complete, and then you will have to wait the who knows how long
download.
And I mean, the PS5 still does the thing where it downloads and then copies. And Sony said before launch that that was a thing of the past, and that shit is so not the thing of the past. It still takes forever to copy.
Wow, though, I don't understand.
I don't know what their architecture is from, you know, behind the scenes there, but you know, it is faster because it is an SSD. It's definitely not as bad, but the fact that it still happens is to me ridiculous.
Like, it's ridiculous.
The fact that you have to keep waiting, you know, sometimes you have to wait longer for it to copy an update than, you know, actually downloading it.
Yeah.
Then yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Then, yeah.
Well, they're making moves at least, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. So that's the big part of the update. There's a whole bunch of other stuff which you can read on the PlayStation blog. There's accessibility options like screen zoom, which is great. They added some things that weren't in the patch notes, like an easier way to to let games work with 120 hertz. Previously, it was like, oh, you had to set your console into prefer performance mode, and then it would unlock the option. Now there's an actual just straight option like 120 hertz mode, activate or deactivate. There's some small changes to HDR, which can affect some SDR content in a good way. So yeah, it's overall good that we're getting these updates. But I think people are really, really clamoring for this M.2 update because the internal storage issue is a real problem. Do you want to take the next one?
Well. should we go to the let's just do Resident Evil because we were speaking about it earlier. So there was a Resident Evil showcase this week where they gave Capcom gave a closer look at Village with a new trailer, and there are multiple demos coming. So, and what's interesting is that these demos are limited time. So PlayStation, so the first one's actually this weekend, so if you're listening now, you've missed it.
Yeah, essentially.
You've missed it. So it's just for context, on April 17th, you can play the game For I think it's a 30 minutes last, but it's only available for 8 hours.
Wait, is it April 17th? I thought it was early next week.
No, no, there's one. Oh, is it? Wait, April 17th is today. Why do I think it was tomorrow? Oh, you know what it is? Sorry. In the US, it's April 17th. I think Europe's April 18th. There is one this weekend.
So it is this
for
weekend.
PlayStation. Okay. Yeah. So there's a Village demo this weekend, like literally not the game, like the area of Village. There's a demo this week. Then next weekend, there's a Castle demo, which is the same affair. I think it's like a 30 minutes last. You can only play in an 8 hour window.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then on May 1st, both demos will be available on everything and you can play for an hour. So it's an interesting.
And the demo is only available for 24 hours. The one on
and
May
the demo
1st.
Is only available for 24
hours.
I
don't understand this limited time demo shit. Like, I really don't get it.
Can I tell you, like, it's 100%, like, obviously it's intentional, but it'll get people to play it because it's limited time.
That's fair.
It's not a thing of, oh, like, this demo's launching, maybe I'll play it closer to release because, you know, the game's only out on May 7th. It's like, oh, shit, it's only out for 8 hours. Like, I need to try this. We'll see.
I'm interested, like, I'm in 2 minds about whether I want to play it or not. Because...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is up?
It's so close to release. Maybe I don't want to. I don't want to spoil it. You know, put it that way.
Yeah. Well, what I want to know is, they've been really good with demos in that a lot of them are generally slices that live outside the main game, like with exceptions, of course. But I do wonder if this is just a. Is it just the A slice in the main game? Like, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm tempted. Like, I really want to.
I want to because, I mean, I played the initial demo that they released earlier this year. So, like, I'm curious. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know. When Remake 2 came out, I played that demo, and that was also only half an hour. And I feel like in half an hour, you don't really get to do much anyway. So,
no.
Yeah.
I mean, and like it didn't ruin, I suppose I knew the layout of the police station a little bit better, but it didn't ruin the experience for
me. They also changed it. I know in the demo, the sequence of events was completely different to what it was in the main game. So
yeah,
there's a new trailer as well, which is more, story-like trailer. You get to see Lady Dimitrescu, or Dimitrice as apparently it's pronounced. You get to see more Chris Redfield, which is cool. This game looks fucking cool. Can I tell you my theory? Because like the trailer,
do tell.
I mean the whole hook how this game was revealed was Chris coming back to see Ethan, murdering Mia and stealing Chris's baby.
The baby, yeah.
And then going to this European city. I think that Chris somehow got infected with lichen blood and he's a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
And it
seemed to infer that.
Yeah, and he's going along with this because he wants to be cured or something, you know.
My God. I don't know. So what I want to know is that, what's that lady's name? Lady
Dimitrescu.
Damascus.
Damascus,
She says to Ethan, you survived my little brother's game. So I'm like, is she part of the Baker family? Or is this that just...
No, I think the like brother's that dude you keep seeing in glasses.
Out of context, yeah, okay.
No, I actually don't think any of this is related to the Bakers because I think that was...
Do you say that?
Oh, yeah. I never know. I mean... Resident Evil 7 was billed as a standalone thing, and the next thing Chris Redfield appears at the end.
Like, so, right at the end, yeah. Which is a really nice surprise, can I just
tell
you?
It was
like,
a really cool surprise.
It was like, holy shit, it's still in that universe.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm curious.
And it comes with the Mercenaries mode, which is...
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm keen on
good
that.
Good time.
Hard mode, I'm keen to play that.
Yeah.
And then completely outside of that, there's... Resident Evil 4 is getting a VR version that will be exclusive to Oculus Quest 2. So that's cool. Going to hear Leon in VR.
Leon! My goodness. Oh, this is not an actual trailer. Just the dude speaking.
Yeah, they Oculus is hosting an event on April 21st where they're going to show off the game a bit more.
Okay.
Then we got a new trailer for Resident Evil Infinite Darkness, which is an animated series coming later this year on Netflix. It's Leon and Claire Redfield in the White House with zombies. So
Leon.
Totally. There you go. Or as Darren says in this article, it's about to become the Red House.
Am I right? I love it. Okay, what's next?
So that was... Oh, so speaking of showcases, we had a Nintendo Indie stream this week. So 20-minute stream. I would highly recommend you go watch it because lots of cool indies were announced. I mean, I'm not going to go through every game here.
It's a long list.
Yeah, it's a long list. I mean, they go through it at a pace, these things. So just some highlights. I think Aerial Knights Never Yield is like a sort of a runner with parkour and a really, really dope soundtrack. So that one looks cool. Demo is out on Switch now as well, so you can give it a go. Oli Oli World is coming. So that's cool. Oh, ooh, it's misspelled here. Oli Oli. It's like, never mind.
Oh, there we go. Oli Oli World.
So I don't know if you've ever played Oli Oli.
I played Oli Oli on the PSP.
Or the Vita, I think it was the Vita. Really fun game.
I only played about an hour or two. It's just one of those things of I tried it, but I just never got into it.
So it's like a 2D skateboarding game where you, it's more about like keeping momentum and pulling off tricks with like twitch ability more than anything else. This one's the third one. It's got a brand new like art style, which I'm not a fan of the art style, especially in when it's very fast. I think it's very distracting. But the gameplay looks solid. There's more like routes that you can take. You have a bit more agency around, and it's skating around the world, so you have a lot more locales to kind of like gawk at. So that's cool. So that's coming to Switch in later this year. There's this game, man, game called The Longing. So apparently it's been out on PC for a while, but this game takes place over 400 real-time days. Which is bonkers to me. Like, I need to see how this game works. It's like, I don't know, just you're playing as this character and you can engage in a lot of mini games, but I don't know if, like, it's the sort of thing you should come back to, like, every day or every few days to see how the story's progressing. It seems like a crazy thing.
My goodness.
Imagine trying to playtest that game. Like, how would that work?
Just speed up time.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Is that out now?
I don't know. I think it's coming soon for Switch. I know it's out on PC already. So
The Longing.
Yeah.
Interesting. What an interesting idea.
Yeah, very, very interesting idea. So Chris Tales. It's a sort of like a JRPG, but it's just got the most amazing art style I've seen in a long time. This game's been coming for a while, but it's finally launching on July 20th. Yeah, there's also a demo on Switch if you want one.
God damn.
Aztec Forgotten Gods. It's like a futuristic game inspired by Aztec folklore and like technology. It's got a really cool look to it, and it sort of looks like a Zelda Metroidvania-ish like action platformer. So that looks fun. That's out
a lot of neon
later this year. Yeah. And then the big surprise was Oxenfree 2, Lost Signals.
Which is very cool. Did you play Oxenfree?
I haven't. I've got it on Switch, actually. I just haven't got to it yet.
I played it on Switch. I'd recommend giving it a spin.
Yeah, everyone
really,
says
really interesting
good.
Game.
Yeah. Mm. So Oxenfree 2 is coming out later this year, and it looks... The visual style of it looks incredible. It's got really cool vibes.
They've polished up the visual style here.
It looks really good.
Because, it feels like there's a lot more... It's interesting because it's like obviously the same perspective. Like these environments you see in Oxenfree, but it looks like there's more depth to them. Like maybe it's the shadows or the shading.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it pops more. Oh, interesting.
Okay. And then there were just a few highlights. Fez, really good puzzle platformer. Out on Switch already.
Which I've never played.
Fez is one of those games you can only play once because once you know
once you've done it,
you just can't play it again. Like it just doesn't work. So I'm jealous of you. It's really good.
Looks good.
Art of Rally is coming out later this year. One of the my favorite games in the stream, this is one called Kiwi. It's a co-op puzzle game starring kiwi birds. It's so cute. I love it. I just, when I saw it on stream, I was like, are those kiwis? Like, someone made a game about kiwis? What?
Oh, amazing.
So great. House of the Dead remake on Switch.
The best remake.
So that's about, more remakes for me to play. So yeah, that was the stream. No Silk Song. We continue to
look at this thing teasing me. More videos, and it says your Silk Song trailer. It knows. It just knows.
I have to hope that Silk Song has like become too big to be a thing on just an indie stream, and that it will be at whatever sort of a Nintendo Direct stream is at E3. Yeah. So I hope so.
I think that game is coming out this year. Like I really feel.
I hope so, man. It's hard for me to get excited because it's been a promise for so long.
I mean, we've seen one trailer over 2 years ago.
I've played it. I played it 2 years ago. I had my hands on that thing. I died to bosses. Like, I know what it feels like. I just want to play it. I'm curious because they haven't showed it in like almost 2 years. You know, how much has changed since then? Interesting. What else?
I think let's fly through. Square Enix isn't up for sale after all.
There was some, Bloomberg Japan reported that there was interest from parties in purchasing Square Enix, which doesn't mean anything really. It just means that some companies were maybe approaching them about it. Mm. But Square Enix says that the reporting is false, or at least they're not going to disclose who approached them, because I'm sure someone did, but that they are not looking to sell. So I think that's a good thing. I don't think it would be great for either Sony or Microsoft to own a Square Enix. I think they're just too big. That portfolio of games being exclusive to one platform would suck. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like a big...
It's huge.
Big portfolio.
I mean, you think about it, that's like not just RPGs. It's like, hey, Crystal Dynamics, Tomb Raider, Legacy of Kain, and then you've got like all your Final Fantasies, your Dragon Quests.
All of the things.
I don't think it would be a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it would also stop things like Octopath. You know, on Switch and PC, because that's Square Enix, and whatever the new RPG is coming to Switch is.
Triangle Strategy.
That's the one. Project Triangle Strategy.
How could you forget?
My God. What a
triangle. Illuminati confirmed.
My God.
What else?
New Formula One game. Just want to put it out there. Even though Codemasters got purchased by EA, there's a new Formula One game in July. Hell yeah.
As you can understand, Alessandro's very excited.
I'm not very excited about the pricing. EA has pulled their pricing shenanigans. So, in regions like ours, developing regions, pricing can be determined by publishers based on what they think is fair for the region. So they don't just take a conversion and convert. They say, okay, well, what price in this region will be the best to, penetrate the market? And in the past, Formula One games have been launching here for about 330 Rand, which is like really good. Especially it's like a very niche sort of racing franchise. So
yeah,
I guess that was the calculation they made, to see that it was good. This entry is going to cost 1,000 Rand.
Oh my God.
In some regions, like Argentina, the price has increased by 400%.
Why? Shit.
So clearly EA has their own calculations for regions, which they just apply to all of their games. And so that's happened. Although, because it's EA, it will be available on EA Play.
Yeah. Which is something.
That's something. I'm keen on it. I think Formula One, you don't have to love the sport to love these games, because they are just fantastic racing games.
They're just racing games,
Right, yeah. Very, very good games.
Yeah. Horizon Zero Dawn's Aloy is in Fortnite.
Fortnite continues to be the Ready Player One of video games.
This blows my mind. It's like we need to start putting down like wages on which franchise is next. I mean, so this is,
I'm waiting for Nintendo franchise to get in there.
Yeah, I was also thinking like we've got a whole lot of PlayStation, Xbox shenanigans and movie properties, but like Where's Mario?
Yeah, wait until Link. Oh, they'll never give Link, Mario a gun. Not a chance. You think that's true. Nintendo would never let I think that's actually the thing. Like, would they let their character hold an AK-47 in Fortnite? Not. You know, like, I don't know.
And not only that, it's like, it wouldn't work because, like,
so imagine like, how small Mario would be.
Yeah, a lot of these properties, at the end of the day, they're portraying humans or like humanoid characters.
Yeah.
So I don't know how a Mario skin would translate. Or Link skin for that matter, because even Link isn't like stylistically isn't.
You know who they could get in tall person. Samus
would be actually a good one, yeah.
Because it's like robot alien hunter lady. She already has a gun. It's strapped to her arm. Like it's.
I
mean,
they could put a really tall Splatoon character.
Hell yes, get Splatoon in there and change like the whole world into a, like paint Splatoon thing. That'd be great.
My goodness,
that would be great.
But yeah, it's interesting though because now we've got Kratos and Aloy,
Master Chief.
Master Chief. But I'm thinking PlayStation specifically. Like who's next?
Get Crash
now?
Bandicoot in there. Give Crash Bandicoot.
Are we gonna get a Hunter from Bloodborne in here? Are we going to get a
good
Lady
Lord?
Skin?
Could you imagine the hunter just like
a
this
Father
is a new Gascoigne dream.
Skin?
That would be hilarious.
I mean,
I'm actually surprised there hasn't been like a very obvious like Nathan Drake, you know.
I was going to say that more than likely the next one will be a Naughty Dog, either a Nathan Drake or a Sully or an Ellie or a Joel.
The most bizarre is that they got Capcom allowed them to put Street Fighter characters in there before like Resident Evil ones. It's like, Ryu's got a gun.
It makes no sense.
Like, okay.
Chun-Li has a gun.
Yeah,
okay.
Chun-Li's got a gun. It's cool, just man. So I mean you've got to look at the if you have a chance, you got to go look at the announcement thread on Twitter for Aloy coming to Fortnite. And it's just like the Capcom account replying that they're excited with Chun-Li doing like a Fortnite dance and like the Microsoft account replying with a Master Chief. It's just the most fucking bizarre melding of like
I like
brands. It's just so, like, I don't hate it. I just think it's so bizarre. It's so strange.
Yeah. Look, I know it's just like consumer facing, but it is nice to think like, actually these companies are just friends.
It's just weird seeing Chun-Li like doing the like that dance, that weird Fortnite dance is just, oh my God, it's strange. It's so strange. But hey, Fortnite's making money and...
it's making a lot of moolah.
Oh, you know what I do like though is the style that they bring to these characters. Like I look at Lara Croft and I look at Aloy and I'm like, I can see the traditional Fortnite design, but the Fortnite-ness of it, and it looks really good. I think
it's
it looks really nice. Yeah, so that's cool.
I like it. Okay, last few things. I suppose
I think it's the last one. Days Gone coming to PC.
Days Gone coming to PC.
It's coming, I think, in May. I'm just opening it up here. May 18th. Yeah,
May 18th.
So that's PC version. PC version includes 21:9 ultra wide monitor support and unlock frame rate and hordes of freakers or zombies of up to 500 in size, which I assume wasn't possible on.
That's crazy.
On the PC. So, yeah, anyway.
I find it amazing. It was this trailer was published on, like, I saw it on PlayStation's Twitter. I was like, it's weird. Like, I get it, but it's like on the PlayStation Twitter, like, hey, the Days Gone trailer for PC. Like,
yeah.
What a time to be alive.
I just,
this is an actual thing.
I just kind of hope that this port's better than Horizons was at launch, because at launch, Horizons one was bad.
Yeah,
it had loads of issues, like loads of legacy issues. Like even though it was an unlocked frame rate, like the vegetation would only update to 30 frames per second and shit like that.
Yeah.
So I hope that this is not the same thing, because that would suck. But I also don't really care too much about Days Gone. So
I think it's gonna look pretty, at least.
I think it will. Mm. I mean, I think it looked fine on PlayStation. I don't think it looked outstanding. I think it looked good. But yeah, I just can't imagine playing this game again. I just could not care less about this game, really.
Likewise. Yawn.
So yeah. That's it. That's it for news.
That's it. That is the news.
Questions. If you want to send us any questions, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. You can also Find us on all the social channels. Check at Checkpoint Chat.
Literally all the things.
Yeah, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok. Hell yeah.
We have a few questions on email.
Do we?
And do we on know? Instagram. So let's start with the Malaysian email. He says,
Oi.
Pronunciation. Oi, Governor. Pronunciation test one. Can you correctly pronounce Lady Demetrisu?
See, this is a catch 22 because the question and the answer are embedded into the email. Like you can't ask the question without answering it.
Because he's got a link here. Oh, it's true. It's Lady.
So I mean, well, I thought it was always Lady Dimitrescu, and I guess that's what a lot of people thought because it's like European sounding Dimitrescu or something like that. But according to Capcom, or at least the Resident Evil showcase, it's Dimitrice, which to me makes no sense because that CU at the end is doing no work in that name. Then
yeah. No, the East is like, yeah, okay, I get the C, but then what's the U there for?
So apparently Dimitrice. It's Lady Dimitrice. I guess when we play the game, we'll see what the characters call her. if they call her at all. But yeah, it will be real weird if like in the showcase it's Lady Dimitrice and then in the game they're like, yeah, Dimitrescu. It's like...
Like, who briefed that person on the showcase?
Yeah, I feel bad because it's like, who...
They've set the precedent now.
Yeah. So I don't know. But apparently it's Dimitrice. So take that you will.
Next question. Malish asks, have you guys learned the pronunciation of my hometown, previously known as PE, yet? I actually do not.
It is called... Let me see the new name. Because I know it was renamed fairly recently.
The double G.
Oh, right? Yeah. So it's GQEBERHA. I know there's a click in there. And I haven't really heard anyone say it. So I can't really say I know how to pronounce it.
So is it
Greek?
Greek? Oh, you got the click down.
I don't know. I think it's cool, man. I like. People lost their shit about this renaming, but like, you know,
I just need to know how to pronounce it.
It's cool. I mean, Pretoria is officially called Tshwane, but yeah. Like people call it either Tshwane or Pretoria. Like, it's fine. It's officially Tshwane, but like, it doesn't matter. People lost their shit over this. But it is. The Eastern Cape Geographical Names Committee recommended Port Elizabeth be renamed after the Corsa and Southern Khoi name for the Barkens River that flows through the city. That's pretty cool. Okay.
My goodness. Oh, wait, here's a YouTube video. How to pronounce it. Hang on. Let me tell you. Okay.
Waiting for your broken telephone version.
No, the guy's busy explaining, like giving some context.
Oh, okay. It's like, I just want to know the name.
My goodness. Okay. That's not for now. okay. Let us bounce to Instagram where we have a bunch of questions. Shall we start with something?
Must be cello? From some cello. Yeah. Fucking hell. He's going to ask me about the Formula One, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Formula One weekend, top three. Let's go.
Verstappen.
Do tell.
Hamilton. I want to have like a spicy third take. Verstappen, Hamilton, and Sergio Perez.
Okay.
I think I said that last time and I got it wrong. So we'll see.
Well, maybe you just keep the same three until you get it right.
Yeah. Eventually I'll be right. Maybe one day.
This is
a real shitty one-way street. He never gives me his predictions. So he just gives me shit for getting them wrong.
That's true.
That's cello.
He should give us his predictions.
Yeah. Full of shit.
Well, let me just take this over to his next question. He says, what's your most toxic online experience in gaming? Mine is listening to Sandy lose in Trackmania 24/7.
What an asshole. Oh, my God. How is that toxic? All I'm doing is like really praising when I win and giving shit to him when I lose. So I don't think that's toxic.
You just
need
to calm down sometimes. Okay. I don't know. I don't have a... a standout moment.
Anytime I was playing Dota, it's the most toxic.
Yeah, well, I think I've had experiences in Dota where you just get assholes.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not just Dota. Like, I've had it in Counter-Strike as well, where whether it's on my team or the enemy team, you get people who are just so full of shits, and you're like, it's not worth wasting your energy over them.
Yeah. I mean, I've only really noticed it on MOBAs. Like, League as well was terrible.
I think, they just had.
And, like, I get it. Like, I'm not excusing it, but I can understand why those games are where the toxicity comes from, because you're essentially giving yourself up for like an hour. And if other people are not taking it as seriously as you consider, you know, yourself to be taking it, then it's like you feel like you're wasting that hour. So that doesn't mean that toxicity is okay. I think it's still garbage.
No. It's actual doo-doo water.
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
But Cello's pretty toxic in Trackmania, though.
He really
is. But I mean, if I was as shit as he was, I'd also be toxic. So.
Wow. When are we getting the Sandy Mustard stream?
Wait, what?
I don't know. I think we had a conversation about, do you hate mustard?
I like certain type of mustards. Okay. Yeah, okay. This is the early time we're doing this. There are many mustards. There's one terrible mustard. It's called English mustards. It's horrible.
Okay, that's probably what I was talking about. When are we getting the English mustard?
They put horseradish in there. It tastes like garbage. It's so like.
How do you know what garbage tastes like?
Because I've eaten English mustard, you know.
Wow,
it's horrible. There's no way to ruin. Okay, the only way to ruin a dish quicker is by putting coriander in there. So,
preach.
Yeah, coriander fucking sucks. English mustard. It's really up there as well. Dijon mustard, pretty good. German mustard, the OG, the best. German mustard's so good.
I don't know if German mustard is the OG. Who is the OG
mustard? Oh, I don't know if it's the OG, but it's the best. Well, there's a brand of German mustard I usually buy, and I don't know for what reason, but the most recent one I bought tastes like English mustard, and it's hurt me on a spiritual level. Like, I felt like I've been betrayed.
Shit. Yeah. Well, guess we're not getting that stream.
But if you want good cheap mustard, Woolies Malt Mustard, pretty damn good.
It's good. It's
spicy. It's got a bit of a bite to it. It's great. I love mustard.
My goodness. Okay. What is the most overrated game ever made, and why is it Dark Souls?
Is this also from Cello?
Yes.
Okay.
He just hates Dark Souls.
Why does he hate Dark Souls?
There's actual context to it. It's funny because years ago, I remember many of my friends telling me, like, hey, Dark Souls is really good. You should play it. Because I don't know if it was Dark Souls 1 or 2, but they were all playing it at the time, and then they would talk about it a lot. And then Chill and I were like, man, these dudes only ever talk about Dark Souls.
They're never playing CSGO with us again. How dare they?
Okay, they only talk about Dark Souls. God, we should talk about something else. And fast forward to a few years where it's me going, man, Dark Souls is real good.
Dark Souls is good. Bloodborne's good. Demon Souls is good.
It's a good time. So now Cello's like, why you like this?
I think Cello should just get good.
You should get good. But what is the most overrated game?
Oh, that's an easy one for me. Skyrim.
I feel like we've answered this in different forms.
I feel like Skyrim is a completely average RPG that I do not understand the love for. Like, I'm not saying that you're wrong if you love it. I'm just saying I do not understand you. I don't get you.
I don't understand your life choices.
I don't understand what makes you tick if you think Skyrim is a phenomenal RPG. I just don't. I don't get it. Like, I've had people explain it to me and I still cannot. I cannot empathize with their position, because I just think it's very average and middle of the road. And of all the Bethesda RPGs, you know, a lot of people like, how do you like Fallout 3 but not Skyrim? Because Skyrim. They're very similar. I'm just like, I just don't. I think Skyrim is very boring.
I understand the similarities, but I'm like, they are also completely different though in some ways.
Mm.
I mean, does Skyrim have a VAT system? Radiation.
Well, Fallout doesn't really have a VAT system anymore, so that's real sad.
I mean, it used to. Well, look, I don't know what I think I've sometimes answered this where nothing comes to mind But what comes to mind at the moment is not that the game's overrated, but I can tell you games that I've tried that just never grabbed me that for all intents and purposes should. And the one that comes to mind is World of Warcraft, where I think like Monster Hunter is a good example of I can very easily fall into a rabbit hole of, holy shit, this is good. Let me just keep playing this. I can't stop playing it. And it's not just Warcraft specifically, just MMOs in general. I just can't get into them. Like, I don't know if it's a thing in the back of my mind of like, it's a time commitment, or is it just the thing of, you're not really doing, like, I know this is a very shallow perspective, but like, you're not really doing combat so much as like pushing hotkeys on your keyboard to do stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't appeal to me. Like, it doesn't grab me at all.
I get that. The formats of MMOs, they really have never like clicked with me. And that's why and I really wish they did, because, you know, especially now in the age of Final Fantasy 14.
I want to try Final Fantasy 14.
I really want to play it, because like everyone says that it's such a phenomenal Final Fantasy story and whatever, but it's the formats of the gameplay that I just struggle to get on board with. So I'm jealous of people who can enjoy it, because
I get into it. Okay, and last question from Chilla. This is for me. He says, when will Matthew watch episode 10 from season 6 of The Office? So there's a story here. Okay.
Season 6.
So I'll tell you which one it is. So Lenska and I are busy catching up in The Office, right? And we're watching a lot, like simultaneously, Chilla and myself and Lenska are like very like overlapping in where we are on the show. Okay, but at one point, Chilla overtakes us, and he's like, man, season 6, episode 10 is a really good time. Like, you're going to love it. And it just so happens that this happened last Friday, or the Friday before. I could be wrong. I just noticed on the weekend. I was just so tired. We were watching The Office. I passed out.
Literally
for one episode, woke up at the end of it.
Oh, no.
Carried on watching it. I was like, hang on. What episode was that? And it was, coincidentally, season 6, episode 10. And he keeps asking me, like, when are you going to watch it? I'm like, I just haven't gone back to
watch it. You have to go back to watch it.
But it's the episode, if like, I have very vague...
Is it Scott Tots? No.
No. Oh, my God. That episode made me die.
Yeah. Inside. Jesus. That episode.
There's an episode where they all do, like, accents. I think they're, like, playing out a...
Oh, God.
A Western or something. Like, I don't know the context, but it's that episode.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So that's... I need to catch up.
Office is such a great time. Whereabouts are you? Like, what season?
We finished season... We're, like, right at the end of season 7 where Michael's left.
Ah, yeah.
I would tell you, that was some wholesome feel-good shit. Jesus,
it's so wholesome. Like, you've watched the episode where he's left, right?
Yes, but Lenska just shouts at me, that's a spoiler, but The Office is like ancient.
Yeah, The Office is ancient.
Like, come on.
The whole run-up of the engagement. I love during the engagement where he makes everyone ask, what's her name?
Will you marry me, Holly?
Oh, yeah. Will you marry me? And it's only when she gets to Ryan, Michael's like, this is the only one I was worried about. So fucking died. So good.
That shows, it's such a roller coaster of a show, because like, I get why people don't like it. Like, I get that humor just doesn't click with
And that
people.
First season is rough. That first season
sucks. The first season's rough around the edges, yeah. But there's just something about Michael specifically where you're like,
He's an asshole. Like, he's a terrible person.
I don't think there's any other show that I've gasped in more or, like, cringed. Because often he says stuff and I, like, audibly, I'm like...
Yeah, it's amazing that, I mean, today it wouldn't... A lot of that shit I don't think would fly.
It's
even. But it's...
But
it mixes it with such wholesomeness. Like, yeah, man. Jim and... I'm blanking now. His wife's name?
Who? Pam.
Pam. Yeah, I keep wanting to say Penny. Like, the entire arc throughout the whole, every season is just so good. So good. Yeah,
but that that last episode with Michael was real good. I was like, man, right in the feels, right in the feels.
And then he like goes to the hospital, the airport, and Pam comes to say goodbye, and you can see her mouthing out, "That's what she said." I was just like, this is amazing. This is just what a great series. Just really, when you're done with that, I 100% recommend. So it's made by the same people, which explains why the format is very similar. But Parks and Recreation, really good. Really, really good as well.
Heard that. Yeah, but I'm dealing with Will Ferrell now, who's an interesting character.
Yeah, listen, post Steve Carell leaving, the show goes through some weird times trying to figure out what it is without him.
What it is, yeah.
But there are still some really good high points. It's well worth. I mean, it's only another two seasons, so it's well worth it.
And they're so quick, so yeah. If you guys haven't watched The Office, would recommend. Make it through season one, watch a bit of season two. And season one's only six episodes.
I mean, genuinely, you can skip season one. You don't miss out on much.
No, don't. There's one good episode.
The basketball one.
Then there's two. There's a basketball one, and then there's, I think there's like the cultural day or culture day.
Oh, God, yes.
Which is just, it's just so cringeworthy. You have to watch it.
The basketball one makes me laugh because Michael's just so shit. And every time he misses, he's like, "What's wrong with me today?" It's just so funny.
It's a good time. And last question. Made it, guys. Last question from Best of Bash, who says, "I went to bed early on Thursday instead of fighting monsters till 3 a.m. Am I a grown up now?"
Yeah, you should teach Matthew how to be a grown up.
Let me tell you, me, Bester, and Adrian have been playing some real late night Monster Hunter for, and Thursday was the night we took off.
Did you say Monster Hunter?
Monster Energy, wow.
Zero Sugar Hunter, hell yeah.
But it's, Zero Sugar Hunter. But last night, it's same thing. We're all, I'm busy playing Bravely Default.
Oh, you're still playing? Okay.
Very intimately on the side, okay. So last night, I'm like, I'm playing Bravely Default. No one's online. I'm not getting distracted.
Say you're playing it intimately or intermittently?
Intermittently. Uh-huh. Sorry, mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't mean...
I know you like playing your Switch intimately in bed. Intimately. It's okay.
But I was like, no one's online, no distractions. Look at my phone. Like an hour later, Adrian's like, "Hey, the lobby's up. If anyone wants to join..." I'm like, okay.
It sounds like almost like your cocaine dealer. It's like, "Hey, you up?"
And that's the story of how I went to bed at 2 again.
Snorting in that goodness. Monster Hunter.
It's too good. I'm having such
snorting
a good time
those Diablos bones.
Oh, it's good.
Or Rathalos scales. Or
we'll see. You.
I don't know what the monster, the big monster in this one is.
Magnamalo.
Magnamalo
is the one on the cover. I look forward to this weekend or sometime when you finish with Chris and you're like, "Hey, man, I want to do some Monster Hunter." It's like, yes,
fucking
been
Chris,
waiting for you.
Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah. Anyway,
can do it.
That's questions. If you want to ask us questions, just like everyone else did, like, you know, good people like Keegan and Milesh, and then bad people like Jello.
I suppose Jello.
You can email us, checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. You can also message us at Checkpoint Chat on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok. You don't have to wait till Maddie puts up the question post. You just fire those off, man. Just do what feels natural. Do what feels good.
The questions posed is honestly like, it's like a formality and B a reminder.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for it. You can just send us anything. We'll see it.
Look at this. We had two repeat games to talk about and we still somehow managed to make it an hour and 40 minutes. So
yeah.
I don't know what happened, but we became verbose one day. It's sort of like winter. It became cold and we couldn't go back.
I can't wait for next week. And you're like, "What have you been playing?"
Monster Hunter. You know, some good. That good.
I feel like the last time this happened was last year when I was just stuck on Final Fantasy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, Platinum Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I played more of the good boy with the good haircut, Cloud, you know.
Nah, Simulator. But yeah,
that's been episode 141, Checkpoint Chat. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you have, like and subscribe on whatever platform you listen on.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see you next week. Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's your birthday weekend. Goodbye.
Bye.